Another very on-the-target example is the example of when a person appeases his desire with his wife. That, for many, is not an act of worship. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, this is an act of worship. He said to his companion, in the womb of your woman, for you there is charity. They said, O Prophet of Allah, would we appease our desire and get good deeds for it? He said, if a person appeases his desire in a haram way, would he get bad deeds for it? They said, yes. He said, likewise, if a person appeases his desire in a permissible way, he will get good deeds for it. So with people having the proper intention to get married, many people say we're going to get married or just to get married. But if a person gets married for obeying Allah and His Messenger, because Prophet Muhammad said, فَمِنْ اسْتَطَاعَ عَلِيْكُمِ الْبَاءَ فَلْيَتَزَوَّجُ. Whoever is able to marry, then let him marry. This is a command from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he said, مَنْ رَغِبَ عَنْ سُنَّةِ فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي. So whoever marries, and the motive behind these marriages is to obey the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and also to obey when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, تَزَوَّجُوا الْوَلُودَ الْوَدُودَ فَإِنِّي مُكَافِرٌ بِكُمُ الْأُمَمُ. Marry the one who is susceptible to produce many children and the one who is kind, because I will be showing you up on the day of judgment. And then he is married for him to be able to lower his gaze and to protect his chastity. This person, upon entering the marriage with this intention, he will get good reward by entering this marriage. Even the food that you eat and the water that you drink, and even when you go and entertain yourself by playing or exercising for the sake of, you know, lifting up yourself so you can be able to go back and hit the books and read and study, all of that will be calculated and written for you as act of worship with a proper intention. Having said that, then we can go into the chapter. The first ayah in the chapter says, مَنْ كَانَ يُرِيدُ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا وَزِينَتَهَا نُوَفِّ إِلَيْهِمْ أَعْمَالَهُمْ فِيهَا وَهُمْ فِيهَا لَا يُبْخَسُونَ أُولَئِكَ الَّذِينَ لَيْسَ لَهُمْ فِي الْآخِرَةِ إِلَّا النَّارُ وَحَبِطَ مَا صَنَعُوا فِيهَا وَبَاطِلٌ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. In this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, whoever is after this life and the adornment of this life, their deed will going to be, the reward of their deed will be given to them in this life without any reduction. Those who do not have in the year after except the hellfire, and their actions are null and void and are in vain. So in this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us that those people who work and the motive behind their action is to get this life and to get the adornment of this life, their actions are null and void and their actions go in vain. And in the year after, they only have the fire. But since in this ayah says, in the year after, they only have the fire, that tell us that this ayah about the disbelievers. See, this ayah is concerning the disbelievers, because the disbelievers are the ones who work and they want to see the fruition of their work in this life. And Allah gives them the fruits of their actions and of their works in this life. So this ayah and the siyah of this ayah tells us it's about the disbelievers. But the reason why it was included here, because for the Muslims who believe in Allah and His Messenger, to do an action for the sake of getting this life, he is resembling himself after the disbeliever. So it's the disbelievers who do their actions for the sake of getting this life and acquiring this life, the adornment of this life. Likewise, if a Muslim does an act of worship, and his intention behind this act of worship to gain the material, to acquire the materialistic gain of this life, his action is null and void according to what we have taught and what we have explained before we enter into this chapter. It happens. Do you understand this issue? Then we move on to the hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this hadith is in the Sahih, Ta'isa abdu al-dinari, Ta'isa abdu al-dirhami, Ta'isa abdu al-khamisati, Ta'isa abdu al-samilati, إن أعطي رضي وإن لم يعطى فقط تعس وانتكت وإذا شيك فلا انتخش طوبى لعبد آخذ بعنان فرسه في سبيل الله أشعث رأسه مغبرة قدماه إن كان في الحراسة كان في الحراسة وإن كان في الساقة كان في الساقة إن استأذن لم يؤذن له وإن شفع لم يشفع. In this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, may misery be and perishment be on the slave of al-dinar and the slave of the dirham, the slave of al-khamisa and the slave of al-samila. The slave of al-dinar, a dinar is the golden coin, and the dirham is the silver coin. Ta'isa, here the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam making dua against the slave of al-dinar and the slave of the dirham. He says, Ta'isa, this is a dua from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam against this individual. Ta'isa means Hada Wahalika. He is may he have a state of sadness and depression, and may he perish. The one who is the slave of al-dinar, the slave of the dirham, the slave of al-khamisa. Al-khamisa, a type of fine clothing. And al-khamila, a type of fine mattresses and cushions. So those people who are the slave of those things, the slave of those materialistic things, why they are the slave of things? Because it says, and أُعْطِيَ رَضِيَ. If he was given of that, he would be happy. And if he was not given of that, he would be disappointed. So this is the reason why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this person is the slave of those objects. And the reason for that, because this person, if he was given of those things, he would be happy. And if he was not given of those things, he would be disappointed. So his happiness and disappointment is related to how much he gets from this life, not how much he obeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, سَعِثَ وَانْتَكَثَ وَإِذَا شِيكَ فَلَنْ تُقِشَ أَوْ فَلَنْ تَقَشَ. Again the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, سَعِثَ, may he be miser, may be he sad and depressed. And also تَعِثَ means may he perish. And then وَانْتَكَثَ means his affairs came upside down. Everything he wants to do comes the opposite way of his goals and his planning. This is what intakasa means. And then he said, وَإِذَا الشِّيكَ فَلَنْ تَقَشَ. If a thorn goes into his hand, may he not be able to pull it out. If a thorn goes inside of his hand, he may not be able to pull it out. That is related to how his affairs are upside down. So much upside down and messed up and jammed up, until if a thorn goes into his finger, he's not going to be able to pull it out, nor he's going to find a person to pull it out. Compare this meaning to the meaning where the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ and the meaning of the Prophet ﷺ said, a believer, if a thorn goes into his hand, his sins will fall off of him, just like the leaf fall off a tree in the fall season. You see that you compare between the slave of Al-Khamisa, where a thorn goes into him, the Prophet ﷺ said he's not going to be able to pull it out. And when a believer, a thorn goes into him, in him and pierces him, his sins fall off of him, just like the leaves fall off a tree in the season, in the fall season. And then the Prophet ﷺ, Tuba is a word that represents goodness. Goodness. For Tuba is explained to be a word, a tree in paradise. So either this tree in paradise for this slave, or goodness for this slave who is taking the leash of his horse for the sake of Allah. His hair is messed up, and his feet are dusty. If this person was put to be a guard, he would do that. And if he was put in charge to water and give people water, he would do that. This person, if he seeks permission, nobody will give him permission. And if this person tried to intercede, nobody would accept his intercession. So this, the other example is the exact opposite of the first example. The second example of a person who is always after paradise, because he always is involving himself in jihad. Wherever there's something, he goes to it. But he does not work on his own accord. Therefore the hadith says, if he was put to be a guard, he will accept that without any hesitation. He does not say, I want to be the leader of the army, put me in this position. Wherever they put him, he does it, and he does it good. And if they put him to handle the water, he will do that without any objection. This person, he is doing all of that for the sake of Allah, even to such extent that people are not aware of him. Therefore, when he seeks permission, people do not allow him for permission. Or when he intercedes, people do not accept his intercession because they think he is nobody. But actually he has a great value with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this shows us that the person who tries after his action to get the dirham and the dinar, he is sa'isa wa takasa, whereas the other person is seeking paradise and going after paradise. And the importance of this chapter as far as Tawheed is concerned is that after we clear our hearts from Riyah and we're not working to show off people our actions, we have to make sure that we are not working and doing what we're doing to gain this life. Because some people, and this is a very silent type of hypocrisy, they do the action of obedience not for the purpose of getting praise from the people, but they feel within themselves that people should serve them and should give them things because they are obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they start expecting from people certain treatment. And if they are not treated according to this, to their expectation, they feel that the justice was not done to them. Therefore, the Muslim who is aware of his tawheed, he does his action to come closer to Allah Azza wa Jal, to acquire the Jannah, to go to Jannah, and to acquire the thawab of his action. And this thawab might come in this life and might come in the year after. And if the thawab comes in this life, this is perfectly alright and acceptable. Having said that, we stop at this point inshaAllah and we go through the issues.
Man's desire for the worldly gain on the pretext of the acting for the hereafter. Explanation of the verses in Surah Hud. Naming the Muslim the slave of dinar and dirham and khamisa. The explanation of that by the fact that he is pleased that these things are given to him, and if not, he is displeased. Meaning of the word, let such a person perish and relapse.
Perish from ta'isa when takasa. Ta'isa means may he be miserable, or may he perish when takasa. Relapse also means for his affair to come upside down and nothing comes according to his writing.
Meaning of the word, and if he is pierced with a thorn, let him not find anyone to take it out for him.
And that is connected with his affairs coming upside down. If a person, a thorn goes into his body and he cannot find somebody to pull it out for him and help him out, that means his situation is very jammed up.
The thorn upon the mujahid, who can be attributed with the characterization in the hadith.
Yes. Having said that, we finish this chapter and we stop at this point inshaAllah. We're not going to go into the two next chapters because they are important and we need to cover them alone. They are of great importance inshaAllah, so we cover them next time. If you have any questions, we take your questions at this moment inshaAllah ta'ala.
Will you get the reward for every believer for saying the dua? Is that alive and dead?
Yes.
Okay, the ones that are now and back, but not the ones to come.
The ones?
Like the ones that are here now, and the ones that are dead in the grave, but not the ones in the future who will come in the future.
Well, we can say that the ones that will come in the future too. We can say that according to the ayah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, هَلْ أَتَعَلَ الْإِنسَانِ حِينُ مِنَ الْجَهْرِ لَمْ يَكُنْ شَيْئًا مَذْكُورًا. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, كُنْتُمْ أَمْوَاتًا فَأَحْيَيْنَاكُمْ ثُمَّ نُمِيتُكُمْ ثُمَّ يُحْيِيكُمْ. كُنْتُمْ أَمْوَاتًا. So before we came to this life, Allah said about us that we were dead.
Mm-hmm.
And then we are alive. And then we die, and then we are alive.
Mm-hmm.
Concerning the showing up, I have a situation where at one time where when the crisis of Bosnia was taking place, in one of the countries where they were collecting the donation, they advertised that they made a large propaganda in the TV, and they were collecting the donations, but the thing is that everybody was donating for very large amounts, and they were quoting the names. Some people were donating, and they said, I mean, do not quote the names. And there was an imam there, and they asked him about that situation. He said, it's permissible to quote the name in order to stimulate the desires of other people to donate. This is just a comment for you.
That is correct. Sometimes the general rule of donation should be conceived. But sometimes, and the concealed donation gets more rewards for it from the revealed donation. But in certain occasions, a revealed donation is needed to encourage people and entice people to follow that example. A similar of that, when the Prophet ﷺ asked the people to donate for a certain tribe that was poor. and a person went and brought a handful of food and put it before the Prophet, that is availing his donation. Then the Prophet, and then when people saw that, everybody started doing the same thing. And then the Prophet said, مَنْ سَنَّ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ سُنَّةٍ حَسَنَةً فَلَهُ أَجْرُهَا وَأَجْرُ مَنْ عَمِلَ بِهَا إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. So on certain occasions, it's permissible for a person to say, I donated such and such amount, for that to play its effect on the people, to have the competition, not the competition for them to compete on the riya basis, but to compete on the basis of making charity. وَفِي ذَلِكَ فَلْيَتَنَافَسِ الْمُتَنَافِسُونَ. In addition to that, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I want donation. And then Umar ibn Khattab said, today the day I'm going to go and excel over Abu Bakr. So he brought half of his wealth, whereas Abu Bakr brought all of his wealth. And then Umar asked Abu Bakr, what did you bring? He said, all of my wealth. He said, I'm not going to compete with you anymore. So this is a competition to excel in the year after, and it's permissible on those occasions. But people who do that, and also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِن تُبْدُوا الصَّدَقَاتِ فَنِعِمَّا هِي وَإِن تُخْفُوهَا وَتُؤْتُوهَا الْفُقَرَاءُ فَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. But to make your sadaqat open, that's good. But if you can see that, it's better for you.
So taking that into consideration, I can, for example, reveal my name in front of people if I have the intention of if I have intention not to tell anybody that I donated, but instead I have intention for the sake of Allah.
For the sake of Allah.
Yes.
But a person who does that has to be careful not to have the shaitan sneak on him. So then you are doing that to encourage people only, and then the intention changes after that. And then he feels bad about doing this sin, and he does a lot of good deeds for Allah to forgive his sin. This is what you're referring to. This is this is what you are talking about. It's permissible. When a person, sometimes a sin will lead a person to do a lot of good deeds. A person makes a sin, and then the heat of the sin touches his heart. Then start making charity and read Quran and pray in the night and do a lot of things to acquire the forgiveness of Allah, and that is also acceptable. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه والذين اتبعوهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. We have been discussing in the book of Al-Tawheed matters and issues related to falling into shirk or to falling into disbelief. All of those issues that we have been discussing are related to making shirk or to fall into disbelief as far as Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah. Therefore, we have discussed that it's not permissible to make a vow to other than Allah. Another, whoever makes another to other than Allah, that constitutes major shirk. Also, we said it was not permissible in Islam to slaughter as an act of worship to other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That constitutes major shirk. Also, it was not permissible to love other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as act of worship. Because Allah is the only deity worthy of being loved as an act of worship. And that means we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the most. And we love Allah because He is deserving of our love in all times and in all situations. And He is deserving in our love unconditionally. And so on and so forth. We have discussed all of those before. So if you realize we have been talking about things that are widespread amongst the people, things that if they do, they might fall into major disbelief, or they might fall into minor shirk or minor kufr. Today, inshaAllah, we're going to be discussing issues and matters related to falling into disbelief or to falling into kufr in respect to Tawheed al-Rububiyyah. In respect to Tawheed al-Rububiyyah. When we were talking about Tawheed al-Rububiyyah, we said the three elements that are connected with Tawheed al-Rububiyyah. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lahu al-khalq wal-mulk wal-tadbir. Allah is the one who creates. Allah who maintains the ownership of His creation. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the planner and the organizer of this millennium, of this universe. A planning and organizing, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who rules in this universe. He is the only ruler. And He is the only one who has the right to legislate the laws. And this right is exclusive to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, إِنِ الْحُكْمُ إِلَّا لِلَّهِ. Ruling belongs only to Allah. In Surah Al-An'am, Ayah number 57, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنِ الْحُكْمُ إِلَّا لِلَّهِ. And there's many other ayat affirming this fact that the right to legislate is exclusive to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So just like Allah is the only one who passed al-ahkam al-qadariyah, Allah is the only one who legislates the rules to create. You remember when we were talking about al-ahkam al-qadariyah wal-ahkam al-kawniyah, and the will to create and the will to legislate. In the will to create, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one who creates. Also, as far as what Allah legislated, we said the legislation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes into two categories. That He legislated as things to be created, and no one has the opportunity to refuse that. And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala legislated rules and legislated laws and gave the people the will to take their truth and implement them, thus they will be subjected to the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or they refuse those rules and they will be subjected to the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now we know that the rule to legislate is exclusive to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No one can come and take partnership with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that issue. If people transgress the boundaries and trespass the boundaries of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and make out of themselves and give themselves the authority to legislate, that means they are making partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that constitutes some type of shirk, major or minor, and this will be the subject of our discussions today and in a weeks to come inshaAllah. So we say the first thing that constitutes examples of disbelief as far as Tawheed al-Rububiyyah concerns is to pass judgment based on other than the revelation, to govern and to pass judgment, religious judgment, based on other than the revelation. Because it is mandatory in our religion to rule, it's mandatory in our religion to rule, whether we are ruling in our household, or we are ruling ourselves, or we are ruling concerning other people, or we are rulers of territories and countries. It's mandatory upon those who are in a ruling position to rule with and to govern by the revelation. Mandatory, just like it's mandatory for you to pray, mandatory upon you to fast, mandatory upon you to make